let me know.
Yes, this is the time we would go to the board first and then staff to ask any questions. So are there board members who would like to ask a question?
Jim Parker, no.
Any other board members wish to ask a question? Hearing none, I will ask one. I think obviously there's a lot of I believe, Ms. Tucker, that you say that we didn't have to actually make the decision about who owns the property. That would be a court decision. And a lot of your arguments have been about deeds and surveys, which I believe will be the matter of the court. But what the other argument you seem to be making is that the easement across the intertidal zone had to be spelled out in any agreements between the Eckroats and Nordic, and I wasn't sure what the basis for that was. If they believe that they owned the lands, both the upland and the intertidal zone, would they have to still spell out the deed going across the intertidal zone? Could you explain that further?
Yes, just like the Eckroats did not grant an easement over their entire lot, they limited the area where the easement was granted to a very specific 40-foot corridor on the south southern boundary of their, I'll call it the North Port boundary of their lot. They did not grant Nordic the right to put their pipelines anywhere on their land. And so what they granted was only a small stripe across their land that terminates at the high water mark. And in fact, that's how the original dispute arose, because there was a question over whether Nordic could place its pipelines anywhere along the intertidal zone in front of the Eckroats lot, because at the time, in January of 2019, we were all operating under the false assumption that the Eckroats owned that land. But, I mean, to be honest, I went to law school at the University of Virginia and, you know, practiced law most of my career at the Florida Attorney General's Office, where in those states, the state owns up to the high water mark. So the whole colonial ordinance thing is has been quite the adventure to learn. But one of the things I didn't realize is that the upland and the intertidal flats can and often are, over time, severed. And so when I filed the original objection back in January of 2019 that you can't use the entire frontage of the Eckroats lot to establish the littoral zone within which the pipeline configuration could travel, I was saying that you're limited to that 40-foot stripe or the 25-foot permanent stripe of where the easement was granted. But an easement is an interest in land, and it has to be defined very specifically, and it never has included the intertidal land.
Okay. Let me see if staff has questions. Are there questions from staff? Okay, I hear. Yes, who's speaking?
This is Steve Pelletier. Just a quick question to the point that was just discussed about the upland portions of the area that's specifically marked out. And one of the comments that we needed to be, that they were looking to be very precise in terms of not disturbing driveways and barns and issues on the upland, which was the reason for being more precise there than others. Is there any and not having to go beyond into the intertidal? I'm wondering if we could just address that real quick.
Well, they certainly did have an interest in making sure that their barn wasn't disturbed, and there were other aspects of it. But clearly the issue is that the easement only exists where the easement is identified as existing, and it is defined by an image. And the image terminates at the high water mark, which is why the department rejected it originally on the 22nd of January, and also Submerged Lands rejected it because it terminated at the high water mark. The letter agreement was provided under the guise that it was somehow expanding and redefining or clarifying that it included the intertidal land, but it never did. the March 3rd letter only says you have the same rights to do anything in the intertidal zone that we have a right to do without saying they had a right to do it. Then it was clarified a second time in the December 24th filing, which says we are not representing or warranting that we have any ownership rights at all. And so it is very clear that there has never been a change from the identified boundaries of the easement to extend it into the intertidal land. It does not do it now. It never has done it. The March 3rd letter was interpreted originally by the department and the Bureau as creating an amendment that extended it into the intertidal. We said, no, it doesn't. The words don't say that. But then that issue was resolved when the parties themselves say it doesn't do it. An easement is what the easement says it is. And the easement says it is, by its own terms, terminates at the high water mark.
Understood. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Any last-minute questions before I go to Ms. Taranjo? Hearing none, I would like to now go to Ms. Taranjo for Nordic.
Hold on 1 second. This is Peggy Bensinger.
Yes.
I had a quick question for Ms. Tucker. Could you address the letter on page 421 and 422 of the packet? That's a letter that was signed by Richard and Janet Eckrode, in which they apparently agreed that they intended a broad easement across their property, including any rights they have to U.S. Route 1 and the intertidal zone, such that Nordic Aquafarms can build and site its pipes anywhere in those areas where they have rights.
Correct. But that statement never says that they have any rights at all, and then the December 24th, 2019 document from them also states, I'm going to give you the page number for that. It is, hold on.
This is Cindy Bertacci speaking. Are you looking perhaps at page 412?
Let's see. Let me look at 412. No, 412 is one of the release deeds. What I'm looking for is the December 24th, 2019 amendment to the application, which stated that the with the whereas clause, and the whereas clause, and I've got it right here. I've just got to look at the right page for the whereas clause for you. It is that, well, it does say 412 on mine, but 412 here is, yeah, okay, so yes, 412. I'm sorry, Cindy, you're right. 412, the second whereas clause specifically says that there's no representation or warranty is made of any ownership right in the intertidal land by the Eckrodes. So the document that says you can have the right to do whatever we have the right to do in the intertidal zone, including whatever right we have to site a pipe in U.S. Route 1, I think we can all say that no one has a right to put a pipe in U.S. Route 1, and nor do they have a right to go into the intertidal zone to site a pipe, and they're not claiming they are. They're saying they're not claiming they are, but what they said in December was we're not representing or warranting we have any ownership rights.
All right. Are there any other questions from board or staff? Hearing none, I will go to Ms. Taranjo for her argument.
Good morning, Presiding Officer Deshaies, board members.